Let's do it. Okay, Os Chavav. All right, Zoy Zok Shaltiel. Okay, so what was the last time? Last time we spoke about how could it be that in the Sifrei Kabbalah it describes the body parts of Hashem and it seems to do all sorts of physical descriptions of Hashem. So Yehoyada responded, what do you want from Sifrei Kabbalah? The Torah also talks about so many body parts of Hashem, movements of Hashem, emotions of Hashem. Right, so obviously it has to all be understood with Derech Mashal, and he gave us the many warnings of the Ramak and the Ari, the Heilig Arizal, to be very careful not to, God forbid, in any way think that Hashem has a body. But to realize that we have to use these Lashonos in order to begin to understand. Okay, so as a Hemshech of that, really part two of that, Os Chavav, Ati Adati, Kilo Machachma Sha'alti Al Prat HaLezeh. Which is funny, again, if you remind yourself that one person's writing both parts, so he forced Shaltiel to, you know, to say, okay, that was a stupid question, you know. Now I know that I didn't ask very wisely on that Nikuda, but Afal Pichin, Mikol Makum, Ashuv Espala Al Mashri Isi Kasa B'Sifrei Mikubal. But there's another point that's discussed in the Sifrei Mikubal, it's a delicate point. Sheyesh Zivug B'Ibur B'Sviros. It talks about Zivugim. Now, when we talk about zivugim, sometimes we lose the term in a more loose way. Connections, right? But zivug really means intimacy, sexual intimacy. It talks about being zivugim, right? Real zivugim. The ibor means pregnancy, right? Something growing, the gestation period of a child. Right? All these lashonos, and more than that. V'shezot tikra zachar, v'zona keva, talks about male and female energies. What is all of this stuff? What is this male? What is this female? What does it mean to the zivugim, some type of intimacy that takes place between various spheros, a process of ibur? What is all that stuff? Ki inay hinam inyanim zarim ma'od, liyachsim bel yonim, to talk about these types of things. Again, if there's no, Hashem doesn't have a body, but to ascribe these strange concepts to Inyanim El Yonim, it seems very inappropriate. It seems wrong. And it just simply seems inaccurate. If Hashem doesn't have a body, right? If there is no Zachar and there's no Nekeva, so what are all these terms? V'afal pishiyadati, Hashiv Tashiv Shakol Hu'al Derech Mashal. And as you answered me previously, I know you're going to say that the whole thing is just a mashal, but I don't even understand the mashal. Meaning at this point, Shaltiel is saying, listen, I understand that it's not literal, but I still don't understand what all these types of expressions in Lashonos are supposed to teach. And therefore, Bavakashim imcha shetodiani hamnimshal. Tell me the secret behind this mashal. What are these concepts? Uma haisa kavanasam ha'atzmis binyanim alalu. What are you trying to say with all of these ideas? Okay, so Yehoyada answers in Os Chaf Zayin. Zachar and Akeva heim kinuyim lemashpia umushba. When we talk about Zachar and Akeva, we're talking about the one who is influencing and the one who is receiving that influence. Right? The one who is being mashpia, the one who is giving over, and the one who is receiving. Ki mashpia lizulaso, when one gives over to someone else, that's called Zachar. In other words, when two people are sitting together and one is explaining Tosos to the other, so even though they may be two males, right? So one is Zachar in that moment, one is Nekeva. One is speaking and one is receiving. Right? And there's a give and take. So Zachar Nekeva is not only limited, and this is part, and again, it's a delicate point, but this is very much a part of all of the discussion about gender and sexuality that's taking place in the world today. It's all rooted in some type of biur that's taking place in the world of Zivug, in the world of Ibur, in the realm of Zachar Nekeva. Right? So Zachar means Mashpia. V'amekabel Hashefa Nekeva, and one who's on the receiving end is called Nekeva. The kli that's receiving is called Nekeva. Now we're going to see how they work together. V'sod ha-zivug ha-meyuchas l'sviros, and the secret of this, again, zivug, this intimacy as ascribed to the sviros, hu achibur v'dibuk ha-zachar ha-mashpia im ha-Nekeva mekabelis. The same way that a man and a woman, when they're intimate together, the man is mashpia his zera into the woman to allow her to produce a child. So too, the higher spheros are mashpia onto the lower spheros. The masculine energy is mashpia onto the feminine receiving energy. Oros v'kelim, right? Oros are mashpia into kelim. V'inyanu hu hamtakas gvuras hanakeva b'chasadim shal hazachar. The idea of zachar entering into the world of Nekeva, right? Trying to be mashpia into Nekeva is what? Is chesed trying to what? To have the upper hand over din. That the right hand should be dominant over the left hand, which for most people is the mitzias. That my right hand, which is the side of chesed, is stronger than my left hand. When I stand in davening, I'm supposed to place my right hand on top of my left hand. If I have chassidish clothing, the right button's on top of the left, right? The chesed dominates the midas adin. That the zachar is mashpia onto the nekeva. What that means is that there's some type of softening or sweetening of the gvura through the impression, through the hashpa, right, of the zachar, to be able to show that within the gvura is really a chesed. Right, so let's just think about it from the birth of a child. Right, so the man is mashpia his zera. The zera has this incredible potential to fertilize the egg, but it's going to be a long process of what? Of again, this ibur period, until it finally produces a child. Right? And all of that takes place, all of the development takes place within the world of Gvura, within the Nekeva. It's the mother who's, again, the child is growing within for 9 months, until the child is brought back out into the world. And all of that potential has now been realized, right? It's almost like, again, there's this chesed that's kind of tucked away, that's hidden away, and it takes a long time for it to reveal itself. So a person's going through a difficult nisayon. Nisyonos are associated with midas ha-gvura, right? It doesn't say Hashem tested Avram. What does the pasuk say? Ve'elokim nisas Avram. Ve'elokim is midas ha-din. Because when you're going through, that's why the pregnancy is so difficult. The man's role in impregnating the woman is not so difficult. But the woman who's the first trimester when she's nauseous and throwing up and right, and then her back is hurting as she gets closer to the end, and then the pain of actually bringing the child into the world, all of that harshness, all of that midas adin, all of that gura, right, leads to this moment where the woman is her body is so pained by giving birth, and the body is sometimes so badly injured through the process of giving birth, right? She should be zochet to give birth, with ease, right? But the reality is, it could be a very painful process for the woman. And yet, when the child is born, right, the woman is crying tears of joy. In other words, after all of that, v'tischach liyom acharon, there's this laughter, there's this joy, there's this feeling that it was all worth it when the mother holds her child, when the child comes out into and breathes its first breath of air. And the mother holds the child against her body for the first time, and she's crying tears of joy, and she's laughing, and it was all of that difficulty, all of that gvura was worth it, right? That's called hamtakas adinam. That's hamtakas agvura. But it's always there in potential, and it takes time to reveal itself. Let me just give you two examples, b'derech remez, that Svarim bring. One's from the Skol Yerebe Zatzal in the Sefer Tzemach David, and one's from the Sefer Avodas Pnim. It's a Gevaldik Sefer. You guys know Avodas Pnim? Yeah? How do you know it?
Israel.
Oh, Israel. Such a great sefer. We did it a couple of years ago on Tuesday nights. It's a very special sefer. Amish, such a sweet and deep sefer. So I'll tell you what the Avodas Pnim says. The Avodas Pnim says, take the name Elokim. Take Hashem's name of Midas Adin, Elokim. Right? So what's the Pnimius of Elokim? Now when we say the Pnimius of a word or letters, there's a lot of different ways to, so to speak, extract the pnimius. You'll see the two ramas I'm going to give you are different modes of extracting the pnimius. But the pnimius, so to speak, of Elokim, if I take the inside of Elokim, if I, so to speak, peel back the outer layer, which is the aleph and the mem, that are the bookends of the name Elokim, so the three middle letters are lamed, and hey, and yud. What's the gematria of lamed, hey, and yud? The pnimius of Elokim, the three middle letters of Elokim, is 45. Right? What's 45? What's 45? Okay, Adam. Yud kei vav kei b'miloy. In other words, there's a lot of different ways to expand yud kei vav kei, but usually the four main ways we expand it, right? 72, 63, 52, and 45. So let's do it. How do you get 45 out of yud kei vav kei? So yud, yud, there's only one way to spell yud. Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. So Yud Vav Dalet is Matra 20. Okay, Hey. Let's do Hey Aleph. Okay, so Hey Aleph is 6. 2 Hey Alephs is 2, 6 is 12. So what do we have so far? 30, 2, right? And now Vav, Aleph, Vav, another 13 is 45. So what do you see? You see hidden within Elohim, right? The Pnimia, the middle of Elohim, sort of like within the stomach of Elohim, right? Within the womb of Elohim, if you could say such a thing, right? Is an expansion of what is an expanded Chesed, Yud Kevav Ke, in an expanded form. So hidden again within all of that darkness, so to speak, is this incredible light that has yet to emerge. Okay, that's from the Avodas Pnim. Another remes, Sefer Tzemach David from the Skolli Rebbe Zatzal. Incredible tzaddik, survived the Holocaust, passed away in the 1970s. Very, very fond of his svarim, very deep svarim, beautiful svarim. So in the Tzemach David, I forget which parsha, he says that take another name of Hashem that's Midas Adin. Take the name Adnos, Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yod. Okay? Right. You see the word Din in it. It's Aleph with Din. Okay, Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yod, the way we pronounce Hashem's name. Represents a certain Midas Adin. So he says, let's spell out each of the letters. Let's spell out Aleph, Dalid, Nun, and Yod. Okay? So how many letters are in each one? Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Dalid, Dalid, Lamed, Taf. Nun, Nun, Vav, Nun. Right? And then Yod is Yod, Vav, Dalid. So he says, so each one is made up of three letters. So take the pnimius of each of the letters. In other words, take the middle letter of each of the, right? So in Aleph, Aleph, Lamed, Pei, take the Lamed, take the middle letter. Here? In Dalid, Dalid, Lamed, Taf, take the middle letter, take the Lamed. In Nun, Vav, Nun, take the middle letter, take the Vav. And in Yod, Yod, Vav, Dalid, take the middle letter, Vav. So what do you have? 72. It's Gematria Chesed. So hidden within, right? He says, so hidden within Midas Adin, right? Mamish, buried with deep inside of it is this hidden Chesed. That's what the Zohar says. There's no leis nahora. There's no light except the light that emanates migo chashucha, right, from a place of darkness. There's always sometimes in the dark. There's dafka, the biggest light that's hiding, waiting to reveal itself. So the baby's in the mother's womb. Right? Interestingly enough, the Gemara in Maseches Nida says that what, that the child in that place of darkness has a ner daluk, has a candle like above its head. He's learning with the malach, and then he comes out to the world and gets patched on the lip, and he forgets his Torah. So in an ironic way, there was almost more light in the womb than there was in this world of, you know, choshech, right? Of Metzia Pei Gimel, this Olam Hazes compared to Laila. So in the mother's womb, totally concealed, Imamish had a big light. He's learning with a malach. He comes out to this world, and now all of a sudden he's plunged into the darkness, the choshech of forgetting all of his Torah. Okay, so there's a mystery in all of that. V'nahafachu. Okay, so all of this is what we call Hamtakas HaGvuros, that Nekeva is going to what? Is going to somehow be transformed, right? That's what has to happen, right? That's what has to happen. The husband has to again, trying to speak in a way that's, you know, Lashonaki, right? But we'll say it like this. The zera, right? The seed, for the egg to be fertilized, the zera has to really penetrate into the inner essence of the egg to fertilize it, right? And then from within, it's able to then work through this, you know, Midas Adin to eventually give birth to the child, this incredible revelation, okay? And all of this, he says, is written in the Arizal, in the Mavo HaSharim Ayin Sham. Okay, two lines from the bottom. V'hu Ramaz B'divrei Chazal, and this is what Chazal say, Sha'amru B'tchila Ola B'machshava Livro Asa Olam B'Midas Adin. We know it from Rashi at the beginning of Chumash, the Medrash, right? Initially, Vereishas Bara Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, intended to create the world with Midas Adin. Now, why would Hashem do that? Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Why would Hashem create the world with Midas Adin? But the answer is that Midas Adin hides within it an even bigger Chesed than Chesed. Right? To create the world with what we would call revealed Chesed is less of a Chesed than to show that even the darkness is Chesed. That even in the place where it doesn't appear to be light, Be'emes, there's light. Right? So Hashem wanted to create the world. Kiviyachol wanted to create the world, Olam B'machshava, to create the world with Midas Adin, Ra She'edim Eskayim, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu was Meshatev Imo Midas HaRachmim, so Hashem mixed in Yud Kei Vav Kei. But really, in a certain sense, the ultimate goal, and again, that's part of what's happening at the end of days, right? Like the Navi Yirmiya says in Parak Lamed Aleph, Nekeva Tisoivev Gaver. What does that mean? The whole pasuk, I forget the exact lesson of the pasuk. The pasuk says something like, "Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to create a bria chadasha. There's going to be a new metzias in the world. That what? That in a keva is to sovev gover, which could be understood a what? Feminism. Yeah, there's a female reawakening, a female spirit that is to sovev, that surrounds, or as some of the mafarshim translate it, Right, usually, like we know from the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, it's the way of a man to what? To go out. Ki yikach ish isha. A man goes out and seeks a wife. Nekeva tesovev gover, the Mefarshim say, means that what? That the Nekeva is going to seek out her husband. Right? There's going to be almost like a role reversal. Right? This strange... Right? But that's really what happens at the end. Because think about it. The man is mashpia... Again, just think about the mashal of childbirth. The man is mashpia, this tiny bit of zera. Right? The sperm penetrates the egg. And then the woman is mashpia, a baby, back into the world. Right? So who actually has like a bigger hashpa in the end? Right? The man has like this potential hashpa of the zera. But the woman, after working through midas adin, through this hamtakas adinim, she's mashpia. She brings out a whole new existence, a whole new... So that's what the pasuk says. It's going to be this bria chadasha, right? This novelty, this chiddush of what? Of nekeva tesovev gaver. Again, it's the restoration of the moon's light. Originally, the sun and the moon were equals. The moon was made small. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samach, I believe. Right? And then this return of the moon's lost light. And if anyone wants to read an interesting book that maybe you haven't heard of, or maybe you have heard of, it's called The Moon's Lost Light. Anyone holding that book? Check it out, The Moon's Lost Light. Very interesting book. Explains a lot of things happening in the world. Written by a frum woman. Very interesting book. Right, Mayor Tversky once did a book review on it. You can find that online also. Also fascinating. Yeah, take a look. The Moon's Lost Light. Explains a lot of the... And again, it was written way before the world became as radically progressive as it is today. A lot to think about there. I'll be pnimis. Yeah. It's about the restoration of the moon's lost light. It's about the restoration of feminine power and how that is meant to emerge in the world. And there's something very holy about what's happening in the world right now, even though it's a little bit, you know, in a state of bilbo. But there's a secret holiness that's trying to reemerge. Yeah. Yeah, go on.
Is it a step before Mashiach?
Yeah, for sure. No, it's a real lining, right? It's a real lining that has to take place before Mashiach. In other words, it's Hashem saying at Har Sinai, Kafalayim Har Kigigis, right? Hashem, so to speak, is the man. We, Klal Yisrael, are the female. Hashem forces us, Kiviyachal, at Har Sinai to accept the Torah, right? It's Zachar forcing its way onto Nekeva in a certain sense. But to really produce, we have to kind of respond, right? That's the Nekeva giving birth to the child. So we have to kind of give birth to Mashiach, right? It's the moon and the sun realigning once again. And almost Nekeva becoming more powerful than Zachar. Right? It's showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're nothing without you, but you're also nothing without us. To say that in a delicate and holy way is a big thing.
It's called Ones by Hasina.
Right, that's right. It's called Ones. That's right, which is also a super delicate point. Right? There's a notion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu forcing us at our Sinai, which the Maharal explains. Right? The Maharal says that on a certain level, what's the halacha, if God forbid, if a man rapes a woman, takes advantage of a woman against her will, right? So lo yuchal shachal kol yamav, he has to stay married to her forever. So Hashem, such a delicate point, but Hashem forced us at our Sinai as if to say, I can never exchange you for anyone else. You know, the notion of the Christians or the Muslims, that we were the original people, but Hashem has replaced us with another nation. That whole thing is rejected through the strong-handed hashpa of Kabbalah Sitara. Okay? Wow. Okay, so continuing on the next page. So that's, again, that's the zivug, right? When midas harachem and midas adin, when it's proven that within midas adin was really the biggest rachmanis of all, that Hashem sent us and made us suffer Mitzrayim for the biggest rachmanis of giving us the Torah, right? That Hashem challenged Avraham Avinu with the Akedah in order to bring him to the greatest success of passing, being omid b'nisayon. All those moments where Hashem challenges us to help us to bring out our potential, like the Ramban describes there in Parshas Vayera, so we realize that it was all within the Midas Adin, was all Rachamim. And that's a Zivug. That's a very intimate moment between, you know, creator and created being.
And Rachamim is, that's Rachamim.
Like right, that's the Rachamim, right? That's the womb, exactly. Visod HaIbar, who, and the idea, again, of this gestation period taking place, again, this formation that's taking place, Ki hashpaos v'sharshe hanimtzaos shanekeva mekabelis mehazachar. This hashpa, the sharshe hanimtzaos, this essential, you know, this root of existence. Again, that drop of zera that's going to somehow partner with the egg to produce a child, right? And everything is contained within it. It's going to produce your brain, it's going to produce your heart, it's going to produce your little toenail. So that which the Nekeva receives, this possibility, the Sharshan himself, the root of existence, from the Zachar, from the male, Heim Netaknimba, they undergo some type of tikkun within her, Umitztayrim Betzir Ruchani, and it's formed through some type of spiritual formation, Kiba Odim Bezachar Heim Bedakas Gadol. Because when it's within the man, when the Zera is still within the man, so it's Bedakas Gadol. Right? It's in a very refined form, or maybe to say it differently, it's has this latent potential that needs to find expression. And it only finds expression through that development within the woman. Umoser osam el nekeva. So the zera, the hashpa is given over to the nekeva kadei lahavi ha'avaya el bishul mitziyosa, in order to be mavashal it, in order for it to develop, right, to take on a mature form. Vigiluya b'pawel, and to actualize its revelation. As it says in the Zohar and Parshas Tazria, kulhu b'chachma kalilin, everything is contained within Chachma, Chachma being, I guess, the root of Zachar, right? In the Sfiros, Chachma is the starting point on the right-hand side. So everything is contained, all existence, Kulu, all of it is contained within Chachma. V'lo nafki labar ella b'shvilin yadiyin l'gavi bina. But it only emerges into the world through the pathways, through the shvil, that is known to bina. In other words, Chachma is a very theoretical idea, right? Like the Baal Tanya says, Chachma is koach ma, right? Interesting, ma, we said before, 45, right? Yud kevav kein expanded form. It's a potential for some incredible giloy, but it's bedakus gadol. It's very refined. It's very much contracted. It needs to expand itself. Bina is to be maven davar mitoch davar, to take the kernel of an idea and to give it expression, to expand it. Umitaman isavidu kula vistaknu, and from there everything is made and everything is developed. Everything is perfected. That's what it says in Mishlei. Uvesvuna yiskonan. Through tvuna, through bina, yiskonan, it is established. It's given expression. Valda, and regarding this, is what we say in Tehillim, kulam b'chachma sisa, right? That everything from chachma is made b'bina, through bina. So the Zachar has the idea, and then Akeva brings it down. That's why also in Zachar and Akeva, right, you have the letter yud and the letter hey. Chachma is the letter yud, bina is the letter hey. Yud kei vav kei. What is this floaty abstract letter? Men sometimes have these lofty ideas. It takes a woman to ground her husband. The husband has all these demyonish ideas. He's a bacher, he's a bacher head. And then he starts dating. And all of a sudden his wife says, that's really great, you have all these lovely ideas, but they're like, who's paying the bills? And he's like, I didn't think about that. She's like, okay, maybe you should think about that if you want to continue this relationship. Right? So hey gives kiyum. Right, that's what it means. With svuna yischonan, right? With tvuna, with bina, then there's metzias. Then it's established. Then we can actually do something. It's not just this potential. Harei ki kol ha'pu'ulos heim klulos b'chachma. So all of that actualization, all of that potential, is contained within chachma. Shehu ha'zachar va'yidei misirasam besor zivagal bina. So through the proper bonding and intimate relationship of zachar and the keva of chachma and bina. And then it comes to expression. It's able to become something. Yes, Rabbi Alex.
I heard that the Agra de Pirika says that the reason why you correspond to the Cosmo, a remnant to corresponding to the Cosmo, hey, to Bino, is that hey has a yud inside it.
Mm.
And also the valid part of the hey is an expansion of yud in both.
Beautiful. Very good. Right, that the letter hey is a yud with a dalet. Right? I think Maral already talks a little bit about that. Right? So it has the yud inside of it. In other words, the woman has received the yud. She's received the from her zachar. And then Dalid, right? Dalid kanfosaris, she expands it in all the directions.
So the yud itself, because the yud points into different directions, so the Dalid is just throwing a line for...
Uh-huh. As you're saying, the yud is...
The yud itself.
It's drawing out the yud into each direction. Wow, interesting. Very interesting. Wow, very good. V'derech klal, next paragraph. V'derech klal, inin azivug v'ibur v'leidu v'yanikah v'gadlus. So this intimacy and this ibur and this leida, giving birth, and the yanika, right, the nursing, the suckling, v'gadlus and the development, everything. Kulam heim kinuyim lam tzaus anem tzaus v'yishtal shalusam. All of these terms, right, the yichud, the zivug, the ibur, the leida, all of these terms are just different expressions, different kinuyim, different terms, nicknames, right? The terminology that we use in order to express what? A spiritual idea emerging in the world. I mean, mitzios dak v'nelam, from a place of utter concealed existence, el mitzios of v'nigla, till it becomes of, you know, of means thick, coarse, right? Less refined. In other words, when it's pure ruchni, it's very refined, right? Like he referred to the zachar as dakus gadol. Then it comes down to the world, and all of a sudden it's the hamburger you had for dinner, right? So it takes on a coarse form, but it's okay, but it's more revealed. Ad boam el sof gemar mitziusam, until it comes all the way down to full existence, full expression, the things of this world. Ve'inyanim halalu heim klalu zosa chachma, asher chachme hazor v'harizal huchrichu lishtamish b'kinuyim halalu mimoris hagufim. So again, it was of necessity for the Arizal, the Zohar, the Tzaddikim, the Sefer Kabbalah, to use these terms to talk about what's happening. Because without terminology, I can't talk about these things. And Hashem wants us to know about these things, to try to understand these things. There's no way to talk about them, to express them. So you need to use borrowed terminology. None of it's literal. We need to borrow this terminology to give it expression, like we learned last week. It's not to say, God forbid, when I say chesed is the right arm and gvur is the left arm. Chesed is not an arm and gvur is not an arm. Chas v'shalom. Like we learned last week in the other mikubalim. We've been given a very delicate permission to use our body as an example. In order to express these ideas, lefisha tmunas guf ha'adam v'tzuraso v'inyanav u'motzaav u'muvav u'mikarav, because the behaviors of a person, the comings and the goings and the occurrences of our life, hakol aso yumetukan u'mesuder b'chachman iflah, the body itself is an incredible wisdom, l'dimyon v'tzelim ha'alyonim pulo seyam v'inyanayim, and it gives us a glimpse into the workings of the world above, all b'derach mashal, ki ha'adam hu olam katan. So I was thinking, if you go back to that Zohar that we quoted at the top of the page, the Zohar in Tazria, right? That everything is rooted in Chachma, and then what? It only comes out in expression through the what? Through the Shvilin Yadiyan Lagavi Bina. Through the Shvilim, through the pathways of Bina. So sometimes Hashem Tov HaZavart, right? That when the Gemara says that the whole world is sustained, right? Right, b'shvil chanina v'ndosa. Right, b'shvil chanina v'ndosa doesn't mean just because of, but through the pathway, through the shvil of chanina v'ndosa. Yeah, shvil is an important word, b'shvil. So maybe you could say, when we say, like the Gemara says, b'shvili nivra ha'olam, so what does that mean? So there's a whole world that wants to come into expression, right? Olam is lashon of ne'alam, something which is hidden. There's like this awesome potential that wants to reveal itself. But it needs a shvil, it needs a path. It needs something to give it expression, right? Like Alex said, the yud is this little dot. It needs something to draw it out into a dalet, to give it expansion. So then a keva takes that zera, and she becomes the bina becomes the shvil, right? To nivra, to give birth, to give expression to olam, to that which is hidden. And that's why every person, again, is an olam katan. We're a microcosm of the whole universe. Right? Our own stories. Where did I start? I mean, look at me. I've got arms, I've got legs, Baruch Hashem. I've got eyes, ears. All of that started with a drop of zera from my father. It's an incredible idea. It's such a wondrous thing. So, of course, my body is also worlds, and therefore it's fitting to use that as a mashal to understand all of the worlds. To somehow, again, give terminology to talk about the secret, wondrous, concealed from our eyesight, the things of this world. That's what we say in the Pasuk in Iyov. That from my flesh I perceive godliness. Avnam be'emes lo ala b'das shum mekubal. None of it is to be understood literally as being any type of physical form, chas v'shalom. Kakasa b'sifrayim, as each of the mekubalim are so careful to remind us of, as they do. Okay? Should we stop, Chavi, or you want to do a drop more? Your call. I'm good either way. So let's do one more, because the next one's short, but incredibly important, and short, but sweet. Okay, so look what he says. Chavchas. So Shaltiel says, Das vasecha barur milelu. It's paraphrasing a pasuk in Iyov. Your speech is refined, is good. You're saying good. Dvarim tovim betukim. You're saying things that are good, that are sweet. And you know what? I'm buying it. Maspikim lahatzik darchei mekubalim. You've done a good job. You've done a sufficient job to defend the ways of the mekubalim. Latzila miyad hakamim aleim. To save them from those who question them, who rise up against them. Uma'arim al divrayim. Right? Those who criticize. But I have to ask you a question. Even if you're going to defend everything that you find in these books, but do I, says Shaltiel, do I need to read these books? I have enough other things to do. I don't know Ohalos and Kalim. I don't know every Primagadim, Shach and Taz. There's plenty of work for me to do in the world of Nigla. I have all of Tanakh to learn. I have Dalet Chalke Shulchan Aruch. I have the Tor. The Beis Yosef, the Bach, I've got plenty to do. Shalas and Shuvas, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Noda Bihuda. There's plenty of work to do. Who says I have to be busy with this stuff? And in fact, maybe it's more holy to not be busy with this stuff. Tamim Tia Mashem Elokecha. Who told me to go poking around, you know? To go scratching around in the Himmel? Who told you to do any of that? What's your business to be poking around in the heavens? Avaladayin Yeshli Liton, but I have to ask you, and it is a very important question. And you hear this from very chashuv people who are real, real talmidei chachamim. They'll say, "Yeah, this is not my chelik. I don't need this chelik in Torah. And maybe it's inappropriate. I have plenty of work to do. I don't know every tosos and shas bal peh yet. Plenty of work to do." So people will say, and Shaltiel is asking, "Ki mi hu hamachriach ausanu lekol zeh? What for? Of what necessity is all of this? Halo tov lanu lios tamim v'Hashem." Maybe it's better to dafka serve Hashem with pashtus, Torah and mitzvos, shas and poskim. There's plenty to do. Miblicha kira b'muflu mechusa. Why do I need to go in inquiring and investigating in that which is hidden and concealed? V'yaspik lo la'adam heyoso shalim b'mikra b'mishto v'talmud. There's plenty to do. Tanakh, Mishnayis, Gemara, uvechikar did b'sifrei poskim. Right? There's plenty of commentaries on the page of the Shulchan Aruch to be busy with. They last us ratzon yotreinu, and does Hashem not? Hashem's happy with that, no? Ki yom mitzvos shetivano b'tarasu yisbarach shmo, Torah and mitzvos, Mishnah Brura, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, no? Learn the Malbim on Nach. I don't know. There's plenty to do. Bitzira fatkanos v'agedarim shasu chazal. There's all the mitzvos daraisa. There's plenty of derabanan things to work on, to think about. Shein b'chlal lo sasor. That's all contained within the basic framework of what it means to be a Torah Jew. Achein yediyah soda satora. Who says I need to know secrets? Einena hachrachis l'shleimas adam. Is it really of necessity for me to be complete? If I know shas, if I know poskim, if I know tanach, is that not called knowing kol Torah kula? V'lachein nira li sheyakabel ha'adam schar ala prisha me'akabala yoyser me'aladrisha. Maybe by refraining from being osik in this thing, I'll get a big reward as much as one gets for being involved in it. Maybe it should be left alone. Maybe it's a distraction. Maybe I'm just being nosy and curious about what's happening in Shemayim. Maybe none of it's my business. It's a strong question, no? It's an important question. So Yehoyada says, "Emes hu ki lo kol ha'adam chayv ledas ulahavin razei haTorah." Now again, I'm curious what tzaddikim would say nowadays. Meaning, it's kavaldik that this halig tzaddik, the Shomer Amunim, right, in the 1600s, said such a statement. He's talking more Kabbalah. I don't know, once we have Torah's Baal Shem Tov, I don't know if we could say the same thing. I don't know if Tzaddikim would say that that's an acceptable answer. But he says, maybe it's not for everyone. Maybe not everyone needs to know Razi Atar. Now you'll see, he's not gonna stop there, but I'm curious what Tzaddikim in our world today and throughout more recent generations would say. Sharei Chazal Amru, we know from the second parak of Chagiga, Ditzarach Lastirim, that these hidden things are meant to be hidden. Ve'ein Moisrim Sisrei Torah El Tznuim. And we only give over the secrets of Torah to someone who's humble, and someone who has a certain foundation, as we'll see. Aval Mikol Makom HaTalmidei Chachamim Chayovim Heim L'Troach L'Hasigosam. But a person who is proficient, and a person can always say, well, I could always know Gemara better. That's true. But a person who's proficient in Nigla, he's a Talmud Chacham. He has an obligation to put effort into this. He can't just say, nah, that's not for me. Sherei Amru Medrash Eicher Tov, because the Medrash Mishle says, and this is a Medrash that Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes in the Nefesh HaChaim, in encouraging us to go deep into Torah. Amru Rabbi Yishmael, Bo Re'e Kama Kosha Yom Adin. You have to understand, the Vilna Gaon didn't like the Hasidim for whatever reason. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was a little bit more neutral about it. I actually read a story today that Rav Chaim Volozhiner didn't sign the Cheirim against the Hasidim because of a particular type of Hakar Satov that he had. He felt that there was a Hakar Satov that he had the Hasidim. He wasn't ready to take a stand against them. Very interesting. Interesting that could be the you see from there the depths of Hakar Satov, that he couldn't write against them. Okay, be it as it may, right? The Vilna Gaon was not against Kabbalah. His whole life was Kabbalah. So much of the writings of the Gra are Osik and Inyani Kabbalah. So it's not surprising the Nefesh HaChaim quotes this Medrash. I mamish remember, I have such a clear recollection of Shana Aleph learning with an Israeli Kolal guy, Nefesh HaChaim, and seeing this Medrash for the first time. Right? Woe to the day of judgment when a person's going to have to come before Hashem. Says Rabbi Yishmael, Bo re'ei kam akasha yom adin. Sha'asi l'kadosh baruch hu ladun ha'olam be'emek yoshafat. Everyone's going to stand before Hashem in judgment. And no matter how much you know, it's not going to be enough. The cave in Shatamid Chachamim Baum Lafanov, Omer Lahem, Kluma Sakta B'Torah. Hashem's going to say, did you learn Torah? Yeah, I learned Torah. You learned Chumash? Yeah. You learned Mikra? You learned all of Tanakh? Yeah. You learned Mishnah? Yeah. You learned Gemara? Yeah. You learned Kabbalah? You learned Maisa Merkava? You learned this? You learned that? No matter what you say, Hashem's going to say the next level up in Torah. Did you Ba'ah, but did you get to this? And the end of the Medrash is, and when you say, no, go to Gehenna. That's the Medrash. It's a scary Medrash. Okay, everyone needs a little tikkun in the next world. All right, so Ba Mishesh Bildo Talmud, someone walks in, he says, I know Gans Shas. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's nice. Ho v'nesachta b'talmud, it's a piece of Merkava. Did you look into the Inyan of the Merkava? It's a piece of Bashir Koma. Did you study the spiritual structure of the heavens? Etc., etc., etc. Hare dechol Talmud Chacham. Shigil amadrega se'ilun b'talmud. Once you've achieved a level of mastery of Gemara, and don't be such a anav and say, no, I really know Shas. Come on, at a certain point, you know Shas. And you have an obligation to be Osek and Sisrei Torah. These are strong words. A person who is, so to speak, lazy and doesn't put in the effort in this area of Torah, Osid hu litein asadin. You have an obligation to do so. And now listen to the Zohar. He more or less wraps up the answer just by quoting a long passage in the Zohar. Listen to this. It's a beautiful Zohar. It's mamash a beautiful Zohar. Never saw this one before. Zohar Shir Ashirim. Harichu levar hayedios shechayiv kol Talmud Chacham ledasos. The Zohar gives us a list of things that a Talmud Chacham needs to know. Ready for this list? Such an interesting expressions. Chachmisa di itztarich le lebarnash. The wisdom that a barnash, that a ben adam needs to know. Okay, checklist, things you need to know. Chad, number one. Leminda ulistakla beraza demari. A person needs to know the secret of his creator. Okay? Vechad, right? And another thing, we'll call it number two, that he needs to know. Leminda le legufe. He needs to know himself. I love that. I was very excited about this story. You need to know Hashem. And then you also need to get to know yourself. What does that mean? Lishta moda man ihu. To know who are you? Why did Hashem make you? How were you created? Uman ase ula'an yahach. Where did you come from? Where are you going? V'tikuna degufa heich istakin. And the rectification of your body, how's that going to be? What's your tachlis? What's your tafkir? What's your purpose in this world? There's a vart from Rosh Ragafayel Mendelovich, trying to remember how it goes, that we say in the davening of Yom Noraim, we talk about, right, Masa Ish. So Rosh Hagafayel said it's two things. Masa ish, lemaisa, what do you do? You do mitzvos, you do averos, right? But then there's also another track. There's maisa ish, your action, and then pekuda so, what's your tafkid? In other words, you could do a lot of good things but not achieve your purpose in this world. You could be copying your friend and not being you. So you have to ask yourself, how is my guf going to get its tikkun? Veheich ihu zamin lemeil bedina kmei malka dekula. And how? No, be aware, be mindful of the fact that you're destined to stand in judgment before your Creator. That's the second thing, you need to know yourself. V'chad, another thing that you need to know. L'minda u'listaka b'razim din nishmasin. You don't just need to know your soul, you need to know the secret of souls. What is a neshama? My he high nefesh debay. What is a neshama? What is the nefesh that is within him? Man asya, where does it come from? V'al, turning the page, ma asya b'hai gufa. And why did it enter into the body? How did it come to be that a tipa srucha, that a putrid drop, like it says in Pirkei Avos, that drop of Zara, a putrid drop, dayom kan u'machar bekever, that here today, gone tomorrow, why is the neshama put into a body? Why is that? Think about it. You need to know why that is. How that is. Why that? What's a neshama? Why is it in a body? Why would Hashem do that? V'chad, furthermore, we'll call it number four, I guess. V'chad, li'istakla u'leminda b'hayal medi'ihu bey, to know the world that you're in. Be mistakel and get to know the world that you're currently in. Va'alma itakin. And what's its tikkun? How does the world get a tikkun? Number five, ulevasar. And after that, birozin ilan da'alma de'la'ila. Think about the world to come. Know the secret of the world that's yet to come, the world above. Lishtamo de'lamare. Right? To understand, to know his master. And what does Hashem want from him in this world and in that world? V'chol da, and all of this. Yistakel barnash migo razin daraisa. And to know all of these things, not in a superficial way, but to know all of these things through the lens of the secrets of the Torah. Know yourself deep. Know the Torah deep. Know the world deep. Know Hashem deep. Know your neshama deep. All these things. Ta chazi, come and see. Kol man da'ozilahu alma below yidia. Says the Zohar. Anyone who goes to that world without this information, without this knowledge, without this world of Torah, afilu ispe uvdin tovin sagiyin, even if he has many, right? Sagi means many, sagiyin, many uvdin tovin, many maisim tovin, many good deeds. Mafkin le mikol tar ein dahu alma. He's thrown out through all the gates of that world. He says, look, I did all these mitzvahs. You're superficial. Thrown to the outermost, you know, realm, so to speak, of that world. Because you're not a pnimi, you're not a person who's attached to the inner essence of yourself, of mitzvos, of Hashem. It's all bechitzonius. So you can sit outside all the gates. You can sit bechitzonius. Hare mevuar gozal achiyav hamutal kol tamir chacham. L'troach ulahasik hayedios haneskaros. So what an obligation on every tamir chacham to know these things. V'emes below yedia, afilu yesh lo maisim tovim, eino zochel yichones ha'olam ha'pnimi ha'elyon, shu ikar idun ha'neshamas ki yedu ha'liyodim. You don't want to miss out on the sweetness of the next world. You don't want to, I'm sure the outside, you know, I'm sure the last row, so to speak, last seat in Olam Haba is also, it's a good experience, but chaval when you could have been an insider. All right, so we should be zeicha. Zeicha to know ourselves deep, know Hashem deep. Machrayes. Such a beautiful zar, no? I love how she said, these are the things that a bar nash needs to know.